It's an exciting day, isn't it? Graduating. You know, graduating is an exciting time. And a lot of it is you're graduating and then now what? Right? What do I do now? Where do I go from here? And sometimes it can be very scary, and sometimes it's very exciting as well. I think being scared and being excited is about the same thing. And, you know, but this morning I want to talk about us moving forward. Not just the graduates, but in all of us. How do we move forward? How do I move a yard down the field? How do I get moving? And there are two things that I think I want to look at this morning to help us so that we can kind of move forward from where we're at. And, you know, in life, we all have to move forward, right? We can't stay behind. We can't just stay where we're at and be able to keep up. We have to keep moving. We have to keep changing. We have to keep growing so that we don't become or we don't get lagged behind. So this morning, we're going to look at two things that I believe that it's crucial for us to move forward. So turn your Bible or turn on your Bible to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3 here. So we're going to look at a few things about moving forward. Let's read together in verse 12. It says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of what for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." The first thing I believe that we, in order for us to move forward, is to forget what is behind. You know, the first step in moving forward is to forget what is behind you. And when I say forget what is behind, I don't mean choosing not to remember, choosing not to ignore what we have gone through, what we've been through. So it's not about forgetting, not trying to remember. But it's about two things. One, it's not about letting your past define who you are. You know, I think we sometimes we walk around on eggshell because we're so afraid that our past is clinging over us. And we walk around on eggshell when nobody cares. You know, God created you. He made you in His image. You're a good person. But sometimes you just make bad decisions. And we all make bad decisions, right? We've all made bad decisions. But I'm here to say you're a good person. And it's not a license to sin. But sometimes we think about our past and we're like, man, I can never be anything else because of my past. See, God is not concerned about your past. He's concerned about your future. He's concerned about what you can become. You know, if we understand grace, we would not live in the past. Because God is constantly giving us grace. You know, sometimes we make bad decisions. We have deep, deep, deep conviction, right? Until we're tempted. And then we fall flat on our face. And then we wonder, what happened? I had all this deep conviction. I was not going to date this person. I was going to come to church. I was going to do this. I was going to do that. But I fall flat on my face because I made bad decisions. So this morning, I want to encourage you. You're not a bad person. You just make bad decisions sometimes. And it's okay. Okay, we can't rely on ourselves. We need to rely on God. It's not this hype. You know, it's not I'm going to hype myself up and hopefully I'll get there. It's about a trust in God. It's a walk with God. So that you're not trusting in yourself. And the number two thing, it's not about, you know, it's not about forgetting your past. It's about learning from your past. You know, those who do not learn from their past are doomed to repeat them, right? If we don't learn from our past, we're doomed to repeat it over and over and over again. And you know, there's stuff that we go over and over again, and we're wondering, why, God, why are you letting me I can't seem to break out of this. Because God says, you have not learned it. You have not learned it. So you're going to go through it over and over again until you learn it. You know, the good, the bad, and the ugly, we need to learn from them. See, God is not a God of the past. He's the God of the future. You know, he wants to make you into something amazing if you let him. Rejoice in the good times. Rejoice in the good time. Mourn the difficult and painful time. There's stuff that are painful. There's stuff that grieves our heart. And I think we have to learn to lean into the pain. We have to lean into the pain. The longer you don't lean into the pain, the worse you will become. Your coping mechanism will be overloaded and you will just blow up. You got to lean into the pain. You know, tears are for cleansing your soul. It's okay to cry. It's good, actually, to cry. You know, we've been taught to don't cry. Don't show vulnerability. Be strong. I'm here to say cry. Be vulnerable. Tears will cleanse your soul. It will make you more in touch, more authentic. It's not a sign of weakness, but of a strength. Embrace our pain. Accept our pain. Submit our pain to God. See, rage is a result of no or suppressing sadness. We see road rage everywhere, right? We drive and we're like, people are like, they're about to shoot each other. There's so much rage because we're suppressing our pain. And we cannot hold it any longer. So we throw it in rage. Because we live in a constant world of losses. You got to lean into the pain. You know, we lose our loved ones. We lose our jobs. We lose our friends. We lose our relationships. We lose small things. We lose our phone. We lose our keys. Are you leaning into the pain? Or are you suppressing it? And then you get really, really angry. We live in a constant world of loss. You know, brothers, men. You know, I tell my wife, I say, men have two emotions. Angry and angrier. The thing about men is we're socialized not to be vulnerable. We're socialized, do not cry. That means you're weak. I'm here to say weak men don't cry. Strong men cry. He is in touch. He is in touch with his pain. He is in touch with his inability to change this world. Real men cry. Forget what is behind and strain toward what is ahead. You know, I was watching a wrestling the other day, and not the WWE, real wrestling, okay? And I came across this guy. They did this guy, a piece on this guy. And I don't know if many of you know him. His name is Kale Sanderson. And he was a wrestler at Iowa State University. Now, they did a piece on streak. There's something about streaks that is so amazing. And this guy, his streak, in 4 years of college, he went undefeated. He was 159-0. Undefeated in 4 years in college, a wrestler. And then he went on to win the gold medal in the Olympics in 2004. And an amazing guy. But what it is, he's straining in these matches. He is fighting. He is doing all that he can so that he can win. You see, straining is not a full sprint, but a continual push and continual struggle with maximum effort, with all strength and might. The question this morning, are you still straining? in your walk with God? Are you giving maximum effort against sin, against character flaws, against in your marriages, in your parenting, in your relationships? Are you giving maximum effort? You see, dead people don't strain. Dead people can't strain. You know, sometimes the brothers would come to me, "Hey, John, I'm struggling with this. Man, I'm fighting with this. I can't seem to get over this. I'm struggling." And I tell them, "That is awesome. You're struggling. That means you're still alive. It's when you don't struggle anymore that I'm worried about you. It's when you're just giving into sin. It's when you're not even aware of what's happening around you. When you're struggling, you're still alive. Keep struggling. You may not be 159-0, but you will be victorious. Forgetting what is behind and straying toward what is ahead." For what? Why? It says toward the goal to win the prize. Heaven. Eternal life. Being with Jesus. I can't wait to see Jesus face to face. That'd be an amazing day. I want all of us to be able to see him face to face. That's our goal, to see Jesus. We must press on toward the goal. God has called you. Are you listening to him this morning? Or are you just religious? Or have you heard it so much, so often, that you hear nothing anymore? Forgetting what is behind, straying toward what is ahead. My second point here is become a friend of God. In order for us to move, we have to forget the past and then become a friend of God. The second step in moving forward is to take God with you. We need to take God with you. He wants to become your friend, not your enemy. Verse 17 here, let's read here. It says, "Join with others in following my examples, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is an earthly thing, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body." Since we can choose to be his friend, not his enemy. When we continue to live in sin and refuse to repent, then the cross no longer motivates us to repent, to change. We become the enemies of God. You know, coming to church does not make you a Christian. Coming to church does not make you a Christian. But true Christians will come to church. You know, what's really hard for me to understand at times is when people agree, but yet when they walk away, they do nothing. It's challenging for me. You know, there's a lot of crazy things, you know, happens in my life. And, you know, let me tell you this one thing. I went to the mall a couple of weeks ago, and this store was going out of business, right? They had everything on the walls. It's going out of business, you know, liquidate, must liquidate everything. No exchange, no return. You know, they have the whole wall plastered, the whole store plastered. I'm standing in line. I'm about two person behind their cash register. And there was this guy standing there with his receipt in a bag. He goes up to the counter and he says, "I'd like to return this." And the young lady at the counter says, "Sir, we can't return this. We're liquidating everything. You can't return this." And he's nodding his head. And then she's like, "Can I help you? I'd like to return this." And so she's like, well, you know, sir, we cannot return that. We cannot, you know, we're trying to, everything's on sale as is. You can't return it. And so he's still standing there. And the girl says, can I help you? I'd like to return this. And so she finally said, she motions her, you know, supervisor. Her supervisor comes over and says, you know, and she talks to him. So she goes up to the guy and says, hey, Mr. Reed, you know, you can't return that. I can exchange it for you if you would like. But, I can't give you money back because we're trying to liquidate everything. Everything is as final. And, you know, and the whole time he's like, yes, I understand. Yes, I get it. You guys are, you know, going out of business. And then at the end, she's like, can I help you? I'd like to return this. And I was in a hurry. I'm like, okay, I got it. What do I need to do here? I go up and say, sir, just take what you have and go home. And so, you know, I couldn't stay there long, but I left. And I'm thinking the whole time, I'm like, what just happened here? And I think sometimes we are so much like that. We are so much like that. We see the writings. We see the writings all over the place. We memorize them. We read them. We underline them. We highlight them. Yet we will not listen to it. We will not obey it. We will not follow it. And then God sent people to us and said, hey, look. Look at this. It's written everywhere. We will still not listen to it. We're stubborn in our hearts. We think we're so wise. We have a one-track mind. Our pride gets in the way. And we will not listen to the writings that we have read. Or do we just simply comply? I'm just going to comply. My heart is not in it. I'm just going to comply. You know the thing about compliance? You would do it for a while, but then you would quit. Because it's not who you are. You're just doing it to please somebody. You're just doing it so that they would get off my back. I'm just complying. It's not who I am. I don't truly humble myself, truly obey God. You're a disciple when it's easier and convenient. You agree to the Bible, but you have no intention to obey. This is what God wants here. This is the one I esteem. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. This is what God wants. He wants people who are humble and contrite and broken in their spirit, thirsting for God, and trembles at his words. See, we cannot just read our Bible and do nothing. See, I think the problem is we filter the scriptures through us. See, we filter the scriptures through us, and not us filter ourselves through the scriptures. We take what is good, and we take what is applying to me, but not all the other ones. That's too hard. That's too radical. Are you really serious? We filter the Bible through us, and not the other way around. We're looking for God to agree with us, you know, to understand our situation and our decisions instead of surrendering our will and desires to him. We're looking for God to agree to us. You know, the cross is God's perfect redemption plan. The cross is amazing. If you understand the cross, it will change your life. It's totally about grace and mercy. You know, you did not deserve any of this. It's totally one-sided. It's God. He saved you from his impending wrath and judgment through grace on the cross. He saved you. The fact that he even allowed us to repent. He says, I haven't given up on this relationship. I didn't forget about you. I'm giving you a way to repent. I'm giving you a way to restore our relationship. That's how much he loves you. The whole gospel is about love and grace. Because I believe that the gospel we believe will determine the disciples we become. What is the gospel that you believe? It will determine the disciples that you become. What is your gospel? Is your gospel the prosperity gospel? Is it, what do I get out of this? What do I get? What do I get following you, Jesus? What do I get out of this? What am I looking for? What are you going to give me? Prosperity gospel? Or are you looking for the peace gospel where there is just good, warm, fuzzy feelings? Feels good, but I don't do anything. I go home and be the same person that I was. And the truth is, the real you is the one at home. The one here is not the real you. Who you are at home is who you really are. Because that's who you are. The way you treat your wife, the way you treat your kids, the way you treat your friends, the way you treat non-believers, the way you are is who you are at home. Think about that. You know, are you the performance gospel? Look how hard I'm working for God. Look at what I'm doing. I'm so busy. It means I must be spiritual. Busyness is not spiritual. It doesn't equate to spiritual. It's you got to be connected to God. It's not about being busy. But as the body of Christ, we are to serve the church and not the church serving us. We need to serve God's church. We need to serve God's people. Serve each other. What kind of God is your God? Is he an angry God? Always ready to strike you down when you do something wrong? If you view God that way, you're going to be a very insecure person. Not knowing it's the day that God's going to strike me down. Is this the day when things are going to go bad? You know, you're just insecure all the time. If your God is an angry God. Or is your God a grandpa God? He's old. He's not aware of what I'm doing. I can't wait to be a grandfather. I'm just going to spoil my grandkids and load them up with sugar and send them back home, you know? And you guys deal with them. And you know how sometimes we view God as a grandpa God, then he's just fun. He's just a fun grandpa. He just gives me this, all these things. There is no consequences to sin. I'm just going to have fun with my grandpa God. Or is he an unavailable God? He's absent. I don't see him in my life. He's not in my life. I pray to him, but my answers are never answered. The truth is sometimes he answers our prayers, but we don't see it. Or we choose not to see it. Because it's not what we want. You know, I pray, but God don't answer me. He's unable to meet my needs. Is your God the unavailable God? See, if you have the wrong God, you will live in a fog. You know, never truly understanding the life that he has called you to have. Life to the full in John 10. He wants us to have a life to the full. Become a friend of God. Stop being an enemy. Take God with you. I want to encourage us this morning to find out who this God is. To be open. To stop being prideful and listen to God's word. Remember, our citizenship is in heaven. We cannot put down roots here on earth. We live in this world, but we're not of this world. We must keep our minds and our eyes on heavenly things, eternal things. It says here that we will be transformed into a heavenly body to be like his body. I can't wait for that day. I can't wait the day where we are transformed to be like Jesus. We no longer have this earthly body that we can be like him. So this morning, I hope and pray that our hearts are stirred, that our minds are engaged, that we want to see God as we move forward, as we forget what is behind, not letting our past define who we are, and that we learn from our past so that we're not doomed to repeat it again. And number two is to be a friend of God. Don't be his enemy by continually living in sin. Repent. Get out. Get help. See the real gospel. Let grace motivate you. God demonstrate his love for you and I on the cross. See the real God. Take him with you as you move. As you move on from this place. As you move on in your life. Take him with you. Again, I want to congratulate all the graduates and their parents. We wish you all the best success wherever you may go. Remember to stay close to God. Remember his goodness and his grace. Thank you so much. God bless.
Father God, we're just so grateful to, first of all, be able to celebrate today, God, just incredible victories that we have in our lives. At different stages in our lives. And the most incredible victory that we do have, Father, is the fact that Christ did come down so that we could forget what is behind and strain on towards what is ahead. And I pray that today, as John preached, that the lessons that he taught would stay with us through the rest of the week so that we can have incredible victories in your name and to your glory. And we love you, God. We thank you, and we pray in Christ's name. Amen.